The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. McManus, please.
7:40.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on January 5th of 2017, faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times, posting on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school, and finally faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. McManus, may we please have a roll call?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Present.
Mrs. Demerly. Dr. Foy.
Present.
Mrs. McKeown.
Here.
Mr. Malloy. Mrs. Olasky.
Here.
Mrs. Rodaglia. Mrs. Vanderoff. Ms. Grant.
Here.
We have a call.
Thank you. Mrs. Olasky, would you lead the board in the pledge of allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. McLaughlin, would you serve as the process guardian for tonight's meeting, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the monthly meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, August 21st, 2017. Before I continue with my comments this evening, I would like to take a moment to introduce and welcome Dr. Pamela Fiander. To her first Board of Education meeting as the new superintendent of schools of the Clinton Township School District. Dr. Fiander holds extensive experience, having served in Oklahoma as a public school teacher and elementary and middle school principal. In New Jersey, she was the principal of Burnettsville Middle School and superintendent of the Warren Township and Chester Township Schools. Her experience also includes the private sector as head of the Chatham Day School and the Chapin School in Princeton. Dr. Fiander is a graduate of Scotch Plains Fanwood High School. She holds a BA in elementary education from Oklahoma Baptist University, where she earned the distinction of as outstanding education student. She earned a master's degree in educational administration from Northeastern State University, and her doctorate degree in educational administration from Oklahoma State University, along with serving as an adjunct graduate school professor in Caldwell College. Dr. Fiander's service includes membership on the Shakespeare Theater of the New Jersey Board of Trustees, vice president of the NJ Association of Independent Schools. She was the founder of the Warren Township Education Foundation, a member of the Warren Township Library Board, and co-founder and producer of the award-winning Gil St. Bernard Community Players. Dr. Fiander has been working with Dr. Gina Valani, members of our staff, and the Board of Education over the last 3 weeks or so, transitioning into her new role as superintendent of schools. And she hit the ground running this morning before anybody was up and awake. Dr. Fiander, we are very excited to have you here, leading our district as the educational leader for Clinton Township. We look forward to working with you to provide our students with the highest possible level of education that we can provide to them. So, welcome.
Thank you.
School begins. I feel like we just talked about school ended, and now I'm saying school begins already. First day of school in Clinton Township is September 5th, and our staff, if I have this correctly, reports on the 30th?
Yes.
Of August. And as I said, it's very hard to believe that the summer months are over. I honestly don't know where time goes. Before we know it, the buses will be driving through our neighborhoods, picking up our students and delivering them to each of our schools, where then our hallways will be filled with the bustling sounds of the students' feet and their voices. Friends that haven't seen each other all summer will reunite, and new friendships will be made. Now, a successful first day of school and a successful school year is not possible without the hard work over the summer months by many people in our district. So on behalf of the Board of Education, I'd like to recognize and thank the following. First, our custodial and maintenance staffs for their hard work in preparing our buildings and grounds for the 2017-18 school year. I'd also like to thank the members of our board office staff for their hard work to ensure that the school year opens successfully on the 5th of September and that it runs smoothly throughout the remainder of the year. Our principals, teachers, and building staff members have also been working diligently over the summer months to ensure the best education possible for our children. So therefore, the Board of Education would like to thank each and every one of them for what they have done and continue to do for our students. I have another thank you as well. On tonight's agenda, there is a resolution that I would like to bring to everyone's attention. Action item 18FF-027. Be it resolved, the Board of Education hereby approves a donation in the amount of $1,000 from Mr. and Mrs. Robert Sineski to be deposited in the Patrick McGarren School Student Activity Accounts Nurses Fund Line. Now, for those of you that are not aware, the Nurses Fund is an account that the district keeps to help fund students in the district that cannot afford simple things like field trips, class t-shirts, and other expenses that parents throughout our community and school district pay for. So as you can well imagine, this is a very important and useful fund to have in our district. The $1,000 that the Sineskis have donated is very much valued by the Board of Education and appreciated. So on behalf of the Board of Education, I'd like to thank them for their more than generous donation to the children in our school district. I'd like to now move on to the first report of our superintendent, Dr. Finder.
Thank you. Good evening, members of the board and of the audience. It is a pure delight to be here. Every day I meet someone new, and I've already driven the tech crew crazy. I moved in Google Home so I could have background music playing in the office. And Darren and Brian come in and say, who's streaming music? It showed up on their phones. So it's my fault, we'll get it figured out. But everyone's been very accommodating and warm and welcoming, and I'm just delighted with each new person I meet. And I can't wait to meet the anticipated 1,266 students as of August 15th, and we have some more coming our way. So that's my first report, that as of now, we anticipate an enrollment of 1,266 amazing children. And number two, we have a presentation tonight by the coordinator of our HIV self-assessment program, Melissa Goad. And did I say that right? Mrs. Goad,
take it away. Mrs. Goad, if I can move a resolution first, and then we can have your presentation, because you'll give your presentation. That's okay. So I'm looking for motion, please, for action item 18SU-002.
Motion.
Second.
Ms. Olowski, second. Ms. McLaughlin. Any questions for Dr. Fiander this evening? No, seeing none. May we have a roll call, please?
Dr. Foy.
Here.
That's a yes.
Sorry.
That's
a yes. Yes. It's a roll call.
This would be by consent if you were going. We could do this by consent.
No,
let's
do it.
No problem. Okay. Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
The motion passed.
Thank you, Ms. Goad. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Good evening, members of the Board of Education and audience members. All right, I double clicked. Okay. I'm used to doing this in Google Slides, so. I'm Melissa Goad. I am the principal at Spruce Run, but I am also our district's anti-bullying coordinator. So I am here this evening to share information with you regarding our district's self-assessment as required by the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. I've prepared some information here to share with you regarding how our schools performed based upon this assessment. However, before I go into the details, let me share with you what is the HIV Harassment, Intimidation, Bullying self-assessment. So the Commissioner of Education requires a grade for each public school in our district's efforts to implement the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. So each school, through our school safety and our climate teams, evaluated the implementation of the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights from last July 1st through June 30th using the self-assessment that's provided by the state. The self-assessment has 8 core elements that I'll go over briefly in just a moment. And there is a rating scale of 0 through 3 for the different sub-areas of the core elements. And the school safety team is charged with gathering data and evidence to support our self-assessment scores. So it's not just that we feel that we did a great job, we're going to give ourselves a 3. You actually have to very closely follow the self-assessment requirements and be able to have the evidence to show how we've scored ourselves. So the school safety teams actually met in June to assign a rating for each of the indicators based upon the criteria and documentation. The guidelines that and the time frame that we have to follow, this information is due to the state, to the Department of Ed, by September 30th. Prior to us submitting it to the Department of Ed, we do need to present to the board and give the board an opportunity to ask any questions, ask for clarification, or make some suggestions as needed. At that point, the Department of Ed reviews the data that we submit and then compare that to the intervention, training, and program reports that we also submit to make sure that we're actually doing all that we're saying that we're doing through our self-assessment. And then at some time during the 17-18 school year, the Department of Ed issues a grade. It's been my experience in this role as the anti-bullying coordinator. We've never had any questions or challenges with the self-assessment grades that we've submitted. And at that point, once the official grade report is received, we publish it on our website. The requirement is to publish that within 10 days of receiving it. In the past, it's been sometime in the winter, January, February timeframe. So how did we use the self-assessment? How did we score ourselves? There are 8 core elements that we worked through with the school safety teams. The first element is HIV programs, approaches, and other initiatives. The second element is training on HIV policy. The third element is staff instruction and training. Fourth is curriculum and instruction on HIV. 5 is HIV personnel. 6 is HIV incident reporting procedures. 7 is investigation procedures. And then 8 is HIV reporting. As I mentioned earlier, there are also 4 ratings that we can give ourselves. It ranges from 0 through 4, 0 being not meeting any requirements, 1 is partially meeting, 2 is meeting all, and 3 is exceeding. So I know that this is small, but what I will tell you is that in all of the areas, each of our 4 schools have either met or exceeded the expectations, which is something that we're very proud of, the programs that we provide to our students. The highest score that a school can receive is a 78. So as you can see, our scores range from 75 to 76, which in my opinion is excellent. It shows that we are, again, not only meeting, but most often exceeding all of the requirements set forth by the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. So when I look at those scores, I continue to reflect upon our successes, but also areas that we'll continue to enhance as we move forward. As I said, we do continue to, as we have for the last few years, meet or exceed our requirements. Our staff in our schools really work diligently to attend training, to stay current with best practices, to review programs that we have in place to support our students. Those are things that we'll continue to do. However, we also don't want to become complacent and just say we do great things here. So even though we have met or exceeded requirements, we will continue to explore other opportunities that may be out there for students in terms of curriculum and instruction, continuing to review the programs that we have currently in place for our students. And one of the areas, too, that we scored, I'll say lower, maybe 1 point lower to not exceed it, we met it but not exceeded it, was in assessments of our programs, and we'd like to continue to explore and expand opportunities for gathering input from all stakeholders. So that's something that we'll continue to do as we move forward, not only providing supportive programs for our children, but also continuing with our assessments of all of our community members to get input and move forward. Are there any questions regarding the HIB self-assessment? Rachel? That is actually a great question, and it's something that's continuous. I always do a training for all of our new staff every year. That actually just happened, that was last week already, last week. We also, in our district, use the GCN training modules, which has an HIB element to it. I also work with the building principals, and we review information yearly with our faculty as well, at faculty meeting times. I also do a training with the teacher assistants, which is coming up next week on our new staff day as well. So we work to make sure that we're continuously providing information to our staff for training. And also we also provide opportunities for staff to go out for training as well. Typically that is the anti-bullying specialist or someone who's a member of the school safety team. For example, one of our anti-bullying specialists recently participated in the New Jersey Principals and Supervisors Association, and FEA has a certificate program for anti-bullying specialists, so one of our counselors participated in that training and then brought the information back to Turnkey as well. They do, yes. Yes, sure. Maria? Sure. That's a great question. So Ms. Grant asked, do we see, are students feeling comfortable either reporting situations that may be occurring or coming to adults? And that's actually our ultimate goal, is for children to have a level of comfort with all of the adults in the environment. And we start that instruction as early as preschool at Spruce Run, having children know that they have reliable and supportive adults in their world, whether it's mom and dad, their teacher, their principal, their school counselor. So we do work with them throughout. It's challenging sometimes too, because as children get older, we try to teach them, and that's actually a core element of the instruction that we provide, how to be an upstander, not a bystander. So teaching children how to be monitoring situations, how to seek an adult for assistance when it's needed, how to stand up for a friend rather than just watching something happening, but getting involved and asking questions. So yes, we do see that children are comfortable doing that. That will continue to be an area of focus as well, though, because I think that there's never enough opportunity to teach kids not only how to support themselves, but also others, and how and to whom they can go for assistance. So yes, I do see that they're comfortable with that, but that will continue to be an area of focus. Yes. That's actually one of the elements of the self-assessment, too, that we have an opportunity for anonymous reporting. There is also a piece of it, too, though, that we cannot always, it's harder to follow up on situations if it's an anonymous report. We much prefer that children not report that anonymously. But we do, as part of the self-assessment, have opportunities for situations to be reported anonymously. Dr. Foy?
So there's some training for staff members. Do you as leads and panel leads of other school systems to kind of cross-pollinate or gain yourself against each other? So you're rating the 2-1.
Yes. Not so much. So do I meet with, the question was, do I meet with other folks who may be in the same position as me and compare our scores? Not with other districts. I do that with our schools within the district, and that's part of what the state does. When they look at our scores, they look at our supporting data, and they do that comparison as well. So I don't have the data at this point for how we compare to other schools in the district, because it's not reported yet, but I can tell you that in the past we have scored comparably to others.
Yes.
Yes. That's part of the professional network that our school safety teams are a part of and going to trainings. And again, through NJPSA, FEA, next month we'll actually be doing the Board of Education HIV training with David Nash. He is an expert in the field, and I feel very fortunate to have the opportunity to work with him regularly and attend workshops. And he's also, you know, a phone call or an email away whenever we have questions. So yes, we do. We are very fortunate in this district to have the opportunity to collaborate with other colleagues through our affiliation and association with NJPSA. Thank you. Close it.
I'd like to open the floor for our first public comments section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 9322 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comments section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comments section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or the superintendent of school as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section on agenda items only to 30 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board? No? Seeing none then, I'd like to move on to our first recognition of the public. This section will be only for comments made by the public on school-related matters only. All the parameters and guidelines I mentioned for the public comments section on agenda items only apply here as well. If you'd like to address the board, please step up to the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comments section to 20 minutes.
Hello, Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I just had a couple of quick questions. I was just wondering what the Califon Consultants, action item FF43, what that was for. Also, I had a question, and I've had this come up before about the bylaws. I know we used to have a system where they would get emailed out and you could see them, but again, there was no way to tell what had been changed, and I would really love to see that incorporated on our website. Some other school districts do it where you see the actual changes being, you know, what they want to do and or what's going to get taken out or added, and I would really love to have that, to be able to see that. My other thing is, we seeing this agenda, I saw that someone has not retired.
Resigned.
Quit. Resigned. Yes, that is resigned. Has resigned, and I know in the last couple of agendas we have passed action items to pay for things like mentor or classes. And do we still pay for that when that person when that person leaves? Is my question, or is that something, like, I don't know if we pay after they complete it and we reimburse, and then by that point they won't be with us anymore. Or what? But that's my question. Thank you.
Would anybody else like to address the board this evening? Do you want to address the telephone? The Califon Consulting Firm is a firm that will be assessing certification of our members, of our staff. So we'll be identifying who's certified to do what and years of service so that we can develop a hierarchy of seniority. So it's a project that we've embarked on and started to research, and that company will help us do that as well. The bylaws, if you can send us school districts that you know that make these changes, that would be helpful for us to see that as well. And to my knowledge, anyone who leaves the district does not have any professional development paid for by the district once that they've left, to my knowledge. I'd like to move on to the report of the School Business Administrator and Board Secretary, Mr. McManus. Sir, may we please have your report this evening?
Last week we had a fun week as the auditors came in this week. It's okay. Always a very,
it's
very
a good
fun
week.
Week.
Right?
Absolutely. While the audit is approximately 90% complete, there were accounting adjustments which resulted in the need to revise the June 30th Board Secretaries and Treasurer's Report as recommended by the auditor. Specifically, there was an additional expenditure bill list from the run from June 27th through June 30th, which was posted after the July 24th board meeting, as well as an additional interfund transfer, which was not reflected in the June 30th Treasurer's Report nor in the Board Secretary's Report. So due to these accounting adjustments from the audit, I'm requesting board approval on action item 18BA006, which is the revised Board Secretary's Treasurer's Report for June 30th, the revised transfer report, which is 18BA007, which revises the transfer report. Action item 18BA008, which revises the, I'm going to call this motion, the no over-expended account motion, because what happened with the interfund transfer is after that adjustment was made, that put the fund 60, which is our enterprise fund, into the negative, and you can't have a negative in any type of account. Okay, so therefore we required that interfund transfer. Let me just see. So what happens is, okay, what they did last week in this final board secretary's report from June 30th is actually what they will base the final audit on. So what you see in this board secretary's report that was issued to the board for this meeting will be essentially what you're going to see in the CAFR, which is
we'll
the
close
audit.
Out the books.
Yeah. Well, this will close out the books. That's why this June 30th report is so important. And, upon board approval this evening, then this will be forwarded again to the county office for so that again we can make the metric that we have supplied it to the county office. Secondly, just so you know, transportation, this is extremely busy time of year for transportation. On Sunday, transportation notices were emailed to the community population. Many thanks goes to the prior technology director, Tim Jaw, and the assistance of Deb Krupp in my office. But again, all the busing assignments have been emailed to the community. Thirdly, as I said, in the food service account, and this is something that we'll be getting additional scrutiny during the 17-18 school year, apparently there's been a gradual increase in equipment costs and maintenance costs of the operation. And the plan is for the business office under the oversight of Dr. Fianer to work closely with the staff as well as Machio's food service management to monitor the progress as far as the financials through the end of the year and also the equipment additional equipment requirements. It's a trend upward, and we want to work with Machio's to assure that this is actually going to be addressed. Okay. So far, so good?
So far, so
okay.
Good.
Lead testing. We have conducted retesting of the lead in the faucets and water fountains throughout the district. The results came in today. I have not seen them yet. It went into the buildings and grounds manager. So they will be available for Dr. Fianer's and my review tomorrow, but these test results will be posted. And again, this is extremely important. This was a top priority for the board this summertime, was addressing that lead issue. And again, other key aspect is that we've put notifications over each one of the faucets in each one of the schools to assure that the students know that it is not for drinking water, that it's for washing hands and other purposes. But there's been notification put over all the faucets. Insurance, just so you know, there was a big rainstorm and lightning hit the Spruce Run School, and the fire alarm was actually burned out. We called our insurance company and our insurance broker. We do have a claim, and the expense is approximately $8,700, and we have a $5,000 deductible on that. So in other words, there is a claim for that the fire alarm system in the Spruce Run School. And lastly, purchasing, just so you know, I'm going to bring some additional information to the Finance and Facilities Committee regarding accelerating future year supply orders, so that this summer we got off to a little bit of a late start, and what we're looking to do is have supply orders made in May and June, so we're not chasing supply orders, you know, at the end of, right before the beginning of school. So there's a whole process that we can improve upon there, and also it's quite cost effective at the same time.
Thank you, sir. I'm looking for a motion, please, for action item 18BA-005 to action item 18BA-008, please.
Motion.
Mrs. Olasky, second, please.
Second.
Mrs. McHugh, any questions this evening for Mr.?
I have two questions, if I may. So the lead data, you'll review them, and they'll be available?
Okay. Posted.
Posted. How long do you think it'll take to post?
You know, we can get back to that time frame. I think we probably will have to talk to Dan and Dr. Flander, and then we can let people know when that'll be out.
And the fire alarm, we've got the claim in, but is the fire alarm system active before the school start?
Yes.
Okay.
Got that. Yes. Good thing.
Any other questions for Mr. McManus this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, Mr. McManus, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky?
I need to abstain on BA-005. Yes to the rest.
Thank you. And Ms. Green?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on now to the committee reports of the Board of Ed. The Board of Education has three committees, our Facilities and Finance Committee, our Personnel Negotiations Committee, and our Policy and Curriculum Committee. I'd like to go first, as we always do, to our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mrs. Alyssa Olasky is the chair of that committee. Mrs. Olasky, may we have your committee's report, please?
Good evening. The Facilities and Finance Committee met via email since the July 24th board meeting, and we have 28 action items this month. Aside from the payment of monthly bills, there are a few things to note. There are several reimbursement requests related to seminars, conferences, training, and/or graduate courses. There are several requests related to home instruction, tuition for out-of-district placement, student assessment, student aid, therapy, student online courses, parent training, contractor approvals, and or consultant approvals. There's an action item related to the transfer of monies from General Fund 10 to Food Service Fund 60 to subsidize the food service operation for the 16-17 school year. There's an action item related to software technology services as well as various school supplies. There's an action item related to the 2017 summer ESY program. There are a few action items related to transportation for the 17-18 school year. There are a few action items related to 2017 HIB training for Board of Ed members as well as Mashio staff. We received non-public aid for textbooks, nursing, technology, and security for the 17-18 school year. As Mrs. Grant already said, we received a generous donation from Mr. and Mrs. Snasinski, and I apologize if I said that incorrectly, for $1,000, which will be deposited into the PMG Student Activity Account Nurses Fund line.
And last but not least, we received grant funding in the amount of $709 from the Hunterdon County Child Assault Prevention Project to implement the CAP program in kindergarten for the 17-18 school year. With that, I'd like to put forth a motion for action items 18FF020 through 047.
Thank you, Ms. Solowski. I'm looking for a motion, please. Or you moved it, Ms. Solowski?
I did.
I'm looking for a second then, please.
Second,
Mrs. McLaughlin. Any questions for Ms. Solowski this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Dr. Foy.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky.
Yes.
Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Moving on to our second committee report this evening, personnel negotiations. Unfortunately, Mrs. Vanderhoff could not make it here this evening, so Mrs. Olasky is doing double duty this evening. Mrs. Olasky, can you please give the report of the personnel negotiations committee, please?
Absolutely. Everybody knows I love to talk. Okay, the Personnel Negotiations Committee did not meet since the July 24th board meeting. However, we did resolve a few items over email. We did accept four resignations this evening. Colleen Caballero, CTMS, Carrie Seidenberg, CTMS, Alice Steinhammer, Director of Special Services, and Karen Girth, PT for the preschool. We are also reviewing five leaves of absence and one amendment of the end date for an existing leave of absence. There is an amendment of a prior motion related to the employment of an associate. We are also reviewing four position changes for the upcoming school years. There are 14 employment appointments on the agenda for this month. There is a motion for approval for individuals at CTMS for coaches and co-curricular advisors for the school year. There are also two motions for approval for chaperones for this upcoming school year. There are also two motions for approval per negotiated agreement for individuals for the PMG and Spruce Run Arts Fests. There are lunch and recess aides and staff to work hours in the upcoming school year. There is also a motion to approve observation hours for two teachers, as well as approval of hours for school nurses for preparation of students. And finally, there's a motion to amend a prior motion related to appointment of our interim superintendent, Dr. Fiander. With that, I'd like to make a motion for action items.
Mrs. Olasky, just a moment, please.
Yeah.
We have a resignation of Carrie Seldenberg, and she's listed to be on ATPN037 to be a girls volleyball coach split, and she's also listed for opportunity to chaperone under 18PN038, so her name would need to come off of those if you would accept that change.
I would accept that.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Simon.
Thank you.
Would you like to make the motion now?
I would. For action items 18PN015 through 052.
Mrs. McHugh, second, please.
Second.
Dr. Foy, any questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Dr. Foy.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky.
Yes.
And Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Our final regular committee report, policy and curriculum. Ms. McLaughlin is the chair of that committee. Ms. McLaughlin, may we have your committee's report, please?
Consider a change. in action item 18 PC009, resolve that the Board of Education hereby refuse Title III immigration grant in the amount of $1,289 for the 2017-18 ESCA AAFG federal grant.
Dr. Feinberg, well, before we move it, can you explain why we are refusing it? Because it seems funny that we would get grant money and we would turn it away, but there's a reason.
So we investigated this, and according to Joanne Hinkle, to qualify a district has to have a minimum of 20 students with immigrant status. It's not ESL. The student has to be new in attendance to a U.S. school, and Clinton Township pulls its information from Power School. Our district showed 22. What we have found is that a child, once has been here 3 years, is no longer considered immigrant status, but those changes have not been made in the database, the building level, so we don't have students. So we're not entitled to the money. It's easier for us to refuse it than to take it and then have to work it back to the state. So we're just asking that the board refuse. Okay, I'll accept that motion.
Thank you. So you want to move it, Mrs. McLaughlin?
So I'm going to move the rest of the items.
You move them all.
All right, move them all. We're going to move action item 18 PC6 through action item PC10.
I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Mrs. Wolowski, any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin this evening? Seeing none, Mr. McManus, may we please have a roll call?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Dr. Foy.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. Wolowski.
Yes.
Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Moving on to an ad hoc committee that the board has called the feasibility of closing the school. That committee has not met at this present time, so there is nothing to report. I'd like to move the meeting on to old business. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old business to the board on school-related matters only. Any members of the board have any questions on old business? Seeing none, I'd like to then move on to new business of the board. Are there any board members this evening and have any new business they'd like to bring up?
I actually just got a text from my daughter wondering when the schedules are going to be emailed out. So I'm sure there are a lot of people wondering that as well. I know the bus schedules are out. So do we have any tentative plan for when those are getting unveiled? I was just checking for this tomorrow. Thank you. I'll let her know.
Any other new business? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to open the floor for a second recognition of the public. Same parameters that I outlined before on the public comments section on agenda items only apply here. We're limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please step up to the mic, state your name and address. No, seeing none. Mr. McManus, would you please read our very long executive session statement.
Whereas, while the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10-4-6, requires that all meetings of the Clinton Township Public Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10-4.12 sets forth 9 types of matters that may be lawfully be discussed in executive sessions without the public being permitted to attend, and whereas Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10, Section 4-12 to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas discussions may include any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiations in which the public body is or may become a party, or matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer. The nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is attorney-client privilege, personnel, and negotiations. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now therefore be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exist. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you very much. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Ms. Misalowski, second, please.
Second.
Second. Dr. Foy, all in favor?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are in executive session.
It's the summer.
Get really excited, though. Ready, boss?
Good to go. It's on. Just a second.
I'm looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.